Now, let's return to the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, on TalkZone.com.
This is Bob Woodson again. You're listening to the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why. We're talking about the story behind the statistics, the drop in homicides in the first half of 2009, and that was reported by the FBI. Our guest in the previous segment was Charlotte, North Carolina, Chief of Police Rodney Monroe and the former area commander in Washington, D.C.'s Vanning Terrace community. And our guest is Arthur Rico Rush, one of the founders of the a local grassroots organization in Washington, D.C. called the Alliance of Concerned Men, a unique community-based organization in D.C. And we're also joined by Charles Penny. Charles is a young man who was, I must say, a part of the problem and became a large, large part of the solution. I want to welcome you both. I want to begin with Charles Penny. For the listeners that don't know, Washington, D.C. is divided into eight wards, voting wards. Wards 7 and 8 is where a lot of the poverty is and the despair, and it accounts for almost half of all of the violent crimes in the city of Washington, D.C. It's where a lot of there's public housing and there's a lot of despair. But the area where Charlie was raised is called Vanning Terrace. It's an area of about 5 square blocks of public housing. And it's divided into two warring factions. They were the Avenue and the Circle faction. And in the middle, there's a big football field that used to be a killing field. If you look at the statistics, crime statistics in Washington at one point, 13 years ago, that was, the area recorded about 52 murders in a 5-square-block area in 2 years. It was a virtual killing field. The police were afraid to venture in. The housing authority was restricted in their access. It was really a wasteland controlled by the young people. In the words of Derek Ross, who was with the leader of the Avenue, that in other communities, to quote him or paraphrase him, you had the presence of the police and the courts, but he says in Vanning Terrace, we were the judge, the jury, and we controlled everything. But 13 years ago, there was a killing of a 12-year-old boy, Daryl Hall. As a result, it made national news all over, the lead story on the networks, because of his age. He was kidnapped off the streets as he was coming home from school, taken out, beaten, and they found his frozen body shot to death in a ravine near the property. And it created outrage throughout, and the police and the FBI, all the law enforcement agencies came together, because it embarrassed them, and they were intent on just coming in and raiding the place, locking everybody up. But it was at that time that the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise, and we been working with a group called the Alliance of Concerned Men, and Rico Rush is one of the founders. We had been working with them about a very important and new innovation, and that is to actually go into, they had the trust and confidence of the young people. And so Rico went into the Vanning Terrace community and identified the leaders, and there were 8 on either side, and they brought them by vans, 2 separate vans, into the offices of the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise that was on DuPont Circle in the business community at the time. And we had a first time a sit down, and these young men, after several days of negotiation, and I'll let Rico pick it up, they agreed to a truce, and we had a truce. And 13 years ago, the same men, young men who were fighting and killing one another, agreed to stop killing. But Charlie Penny, set the stage. What was Vanning like at that time, and tell us something from a person who went through that directly. What was it like out there at the time?
Actually, it was the mail lady would not actually deliver the mail to the apartment. She would leave it on the street on the corner, and people would have to come out and sort. And some people wouldn't even pick up their mail because it was a lot of gunplay. Every day it was either maybe a body or two bodies found in the community was shot, shooting each and every day. Also, you didn't have no kids coming outside to play. You have parents, people, visitors come didn't want to come into the community, let alone the police didn't want to come into the community to investigate what was shooting and who was shooting. It was just overall, it was a war zone. If you can look at the tape and that we had back 13 years ago, it was telling you welcome to the war zone, because when you came through that community, you had to actually be ready for anything that may come your way. You may get robbed. You may have a bullet coming through your window. It was just, you wouldn't know what to expect when you're driving through that community, because it was just actually speechless how a lot of gunplay.
Mm-hmm. And so what happened? When Daryl Hall got killed, that created a crisis, and suddenly Benning Terrace was on the front pages of every major newspapers. Outrage was expressed, and at that point, Rico Rush, what did you and the Alliance do? First of all, tell us something about the Alliance. Give us a little background. Tell us something about you, Rico, and your partner, Tyrone, and the Alliance. Who were these men that had the trust and confidence of the Charlie Pennies and the others in there? What enabled you to go and identify these leaders when the police couldn't go in, and everybody was fearful? What gave you the right to go in into a situation like that?
Well, you know, first of all, me, Tyrone, and some of the Alliance were really, you know, we were juvenile delinquents, and we at one time had our communities at hostage when we were coming up in different forms. And when we were able to get ourselves together, we formulated, you know, Tyrone Parker's son was murdered. His name is Fat Rodney. He was a member of a band called EU, and he had got gunned down at a skating rink. And Tyrone was incarcerated in Maryland, and at the time of his son's death. And people were coming to him for about retaliation and things like that. Tyrone didn't want to retaliate because, you know, he's locked up, his son is murdered. He came up with the idea that, you know, getting some ex-offenders together to do something about the violence in the city. And when he got out, he contacted some of his old buddies, myself, Eric Johnson, Raheem Jenkins, and Joe Nelson, about starting a group. That he had really inception of it was in prison. And when we came together, we were doing groups once a week. All of us had our own jobs and professions and whatever, and we were volunteering. We were doing it for guys who, juveniles who were in group homes, and we would have them come to an office that was provided by Brenda Jones, Heartland Community Center, and we had a session every week with the kids. They would bring them from the group homes. We would have a session, and we would talk to them about our experience and do life skills. But when we had a meeting, and we used to have a meeting once a week, and, you know, to go with some business and everything, that like you said, the horrible, tragic situation with Darrell Hall, we had brought it up in the meeting. But we kind of glossed over it, and was kind of some of this. So that night, Tyrone called me up and asked me about, did I know anybody living in that neighborhood? And I knew Mr. Munderay. And he said, well, you know, let's go over there. So we just decided to go over there to see what we could do. And we went over there, and Ms. Munderay, and just ironic, Ms. Munderay saw us come to the door and just said, oh, I'm so glad to see you. And she didn't even know what we were coming over there to see her for. But, introduced us to the group, to Charlie and them, and then we got introduced to the Avenue. And, you know, and then Bob, you know, we had talked to you about it. And, we got the guys to agree to come meet. At first, the real guys weren't there. It was just some guys that lived in the neighborhood. But eventually, we got the real people. Tyrone, that happened to be a probation officer, and he was on parole. And one of the guys that was on his caseload was Darius Robinson. And so Darius said, he knew the real people, and he was one of them himself. So he came to the table. And Bob, you played such an important role because we took the guys up to your office, which was uptown D.C. And the guys said, we'll take our guns, but we're not going to take off our bulletproof vests. And we took them into two separate vans, and we went to your office, and we decided that's when we did the surgery, I guess. That's when we sat down and had the guys and talked about what had happened, what had the beef started, and things like that. And ironically, nobody really knew where the beef started. It's just something that was had been going on for years in different communities. I'd like to say something about Charlie. You know, Charlie and I used to ride, in my car. Me and him used to have a lot of talks. And Charlie was saying, this is sometime after we did negotiating their life skills. And Charlie said that he wanted to do something, man. You know, he really wanted to do something in the community. And I am so proud of Charlie for the work that he's done in that community with him and Petey and some of the other guys. You know, but it needed to be a concerted effort. You know, like you had Monroe on there. It was the police involved. It was D.C. Housing Authority. It was, different people from different orders. The church, First Rob Baptist Church. It was a combination of people coming together to help maintain the truth and Benetton.
Right. Well, one of the things that we listeners may be interested to know is that what we said, that it's not enough to tell young people what not to do.
Right.
But you've got to tell them what to do.
Right.
So something that we said, that a changed heart needs a full stomach and busy hands.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So with that in mind, when we had our press conference, David Gilmore, the Housing Authority director, heard about it and said, what can I do? And what he did was allow the same young men who were putting graffiti and destroying the property, gave them an opportunity to work as paid employees of the Housing Authority and rebuild that community. And these young men came together and dissolved the Avenue and Circle and came together and formed a group called the Concerned Brothers and Sisters of Benning Terrace. And they collectively went together and removed the graffiti and planted grass. And just there was a celebration, and hundreds of kids poured into the streets. And as a result of this landmark decision of the young people, we have not had a crew-related murder in about 13 years. There has certainly been violence out there. But the point is, and that people like Charlie Penny volunteered their time, and they have established football teams. Tell us about what you've done since then, Charlie.
Well, we formed a nonprofit organization called Benetton's Youth Opportunities. We have absolutely 265 kids. We have 25 volunteers that's from the community to help out. We mentor the young males. Also, we do football and basketball for the kids. We bring them in through sports, and then we start working with life skills, hygiene, and different other issues that may be going on inside of the household. And we have the support of the community, as far as having them to come out, clean up, help the citizens out. And it's great to just see some of the brothers that was there, part of the problem, is now part of the solution. And as a family and as a whole community, we can build off of that.
And so, Charlie, that part of the conditions, I guess, that were imposed on helping the young people is they have to give back. So that what we were giving, Rico, I guess, was not charity.
Right.
But an opportunity for them to change their life, and many of them went on to go to school. Some of them got telecommunications training. Some young people started their own business. In fact, Wayne Lee has a convenience store right near Benning Terrace today.
Right.
And
right.
So I really think, but I think the listeners ought to understand that when Charlie Penny and these young people who were a part of the problem were given an opportunity to be a part of the solution, they seized it. And for the past 12 years, Charlie Penny has led a group of men, young men, who for 12 years volunteered their time with no pay to run and operate these small football teams playing in the Pop Warner League. They have little girls who are cheerleaders are out there. And on a Wednesday evening during football season, there can be, you'll see 200 or 300 people, parents and all, on the field cheering these kids. That used to be a killing field and now is really a place of peace. And this would not have been possible if it were not for the cooperation of these kids. Our guests today are Arthur Rico Rush, the Alliance of Concerned Men, and Charlie Penny of the Benning Terrace Youth Opportunity Organization, and they'll be remaining with us for this last segment. I'm Bob Woodson, President of Center for Neighborhood Enterprise, and we'll return right after these messages.